You may be seated. One of the verses in that song is, "Until He Takes Us Home." Well, that's the subject today. It's going home. We are Team Jesus. This is a concept that God put on my heart months and months ago, and I introduced it to the church. Because, you know, as Americans, all people around the world love sports, but Americans really love their sports, right? How many of you men go crazy in a football game, something, you know, screaming, jumping up and down, hollering? None of them. Ladies, how many of your husbands go crazy during a game? All right? We get excited about a game, especially football. It's the best sport in the world. We get excited. Well, you know, we're to run a race. Jesus has set a race out before us. And He's brought us together as a church, as a team. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be excited about the game that He has called us to play, the race He has called us to run. Brother, sisters, preaching the gospel. And it's like, you know, we should stand up and cheer. It should make us excited when we see a sinner come to repentance. Oh, that should be an end zone celebration. We should be doing the little dances and stuff they do. Right? Spiking the Bible. No, don't do that. But Team Jesus, that's why we are developing this concept to get it ingrained in us. We are a team. We're going to stand together. We're going to do this thing called the church together. Now, we've been going through 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 is what we've been looking at for the last couple of sermons. We're going to stay here for a little while because so much happens in this single verse. And Peter doesn't cover it, but we're going to cover it. So let me read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, "But the day of the Lord, which will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So Peter goes here from the day of the Lord, the beginning of the tribulation period, to the final judgment of God where the earth is burned up. He jumps in one verse, covers it all. And that's okay, that's his purpose. He's going to keep people focused on why it's so important to be Team Jesus. We will get to the rest of the chapter here soon. But what we're going to do now is we're going to cover everything that takes place between what Peter just highlighted in that verse, because there's a lot going on. So you have the rapture of the church, which we already covered. But then we talked about last week, the tribulation period. Why there needs to be this period, what it's going to be like. And I heard back from some of you how scary it was. And it is. It's the worst time in human history. And it's coming. But here's the question for today. While the rest of the world enters the tribulation period, what is happening to us during that same period? So today I've entitled my sermon, "The Day We Go Home." Because the rapture of the church will take place before the tribulation period. No one knows exactly when. Will it happen before Ezekiel 38 and 39, the invasion of Gog? Will it happen before we see other end time prophecies? Or will it happen at the last second before the tribulation period? Nobody knows. We have to be prepared for whenever it is. But there is a day coming before the tribulation period when the rest of the world enters this most terrible time that we're going to go home. We're going to go to that place that Jesus said He was going to prepare for us. John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's going to go prepare this place. As I said, on Sunday nights we're doing Pilgrim's Progress. I want you to watch, I think this is about 4 minute clip, of the ending of that story. And this is the animated movie that recently came out.
Christian, but mine. And you needn't worry any longer about wounds. For you have arrived to the place where the old is passed away and newness of life begins. Welcome, Christian. Welcome to the celestial city.
This is Christian's wife, for those that don't know. She didn't go on the journey with him.
I know this will break your heart as it does mine. But I am going because I have no doubt the book speaks truth. I have taken a promise from its pages, which I will carry near my heart. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard.
Neither can anyone imagine the wonderful things the King has prepared for those that seek him. Christian, is it alive? Boy, boy, wake up. Your father's alive. Your father's alive.
This story, it's an amazing story to study. It is second only to the Bible. It really is. Many misunderstand this story, though. Christian, the main character, leaves his family to go on this journey to find the celestial city, to find salvation. And some see that Christian abandoned his family, his wife and his children. But remember, this is an allegory, this story is. Christian goes on a spiritual journey. He doesn't physically leave them. It's a spiritual journey played out in the movie. He seeks salvation. He seeks the path of discipleship and sanctification. He is trying to find a way to save his own family from the destruction that is coming, the judgment that is coming. He's got to lead his family. You see, what we are called to by God is this spiritual journey. One, to be born again. And second, to know God, to know Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, many people who believe do not take their journey seriously. And one of the number one reasons that people don't take their faith seriously is because of family. You see, the true faith that Jesus offers us can divide families. It will divide families. It could even destroy or disrupt relationships. So many choose not to bring that divisive faith into the family. Or they bring in a cheap counterfeit of it, Christian religion. But you see, the people who choose not to follow the true path laid out in Scripture, they may be saving their family relationship now. There might be unity and all that now. But what they're setting their families up, their children and their grandchildren, they're setting them up to never know Jesus Christ, to never experience what God has prepared for those who seek Him. It's a sad fact. I've seen it every year I've been in ministry. Christian, the main character in the story, goes on this journey to find Christ, to find salvation. His family does not go. It's an allegory. The path that Christian is on, spiritually, is not the path his family is on, which is worldly or religious. They're under the same roof. They are physically together, but they're on different paths, and they're heading to different destinations. Same family, same blood, but they're going to end up in two different destinations. That's why it's so important for those who truly understand Jesus Christ, who understand the true faith the Bible calls us to, how important it is to bring that faith, that living faith, into your family, even at the cost or the price of dividing your family. We're not seeking to divide our family, but Jesus did warn us about this. Luke 12, verse 49, Jesus said this, "I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled." That connects back to Psalms 2 that we talked about last week. Jesus wants to bring the judgment. He wants righteousness restored upon the earth. However, verse 50, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Before the judgment, grace." That grace is going to be paid for with him going to the cross. The baptism he must endure, dying for us. Look at verse 51. "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division." It's a very hard teaching. What kind of division? Well, verse 52. "For from now on, five in one house will be divided. Three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." This is a hard teaching. Jesus bringing division. Family members will be divided by what it truly means to have faith in Jesus Christ. Some will believe, others will choose not to. Some family members will only believe if they see the faith is real in another family member. That's why it's so important for each believer to become a disciple and embrace sanctification, to show the real faith to the rest of your family. It might take that for someone else to believe. But if we don't take our faith seriously, if we replace it with a cheap counterfeit of Christian religion or church traditions, then the younger generation, it's easy to see the hypocrisy in churchgoers who just have religion. It's easy to see the hypocrisy. And young people are not as dumb as some may think. They pick up on stuff that we thought maybe they won't notice. But they do. And they can see through religion, and they can see the hypocrisy of the conduct of those in religion. And what they decide? Your children who become adults and their kids, your grandkids, they decide Christianity, faith in God, it's not real. So, family members fall away. Family trees split. Let me ask you a question. Why it's so important for us to take our faith seriously and show people what it really means to believe in Jesus Christ. Do you have family members or even friends who say they're believers? They say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. But these same people don't want to talk about Jesus. That's awkward. They don't want to talk about the Bible, what's written in it. They don't really want to pray. That's even more awkward. And they definitely don't want to attend church. But they're believers. And they all say they're going to go to heaven one day. Do we know people like this? Do we have family members like this? Do we have family members like this? We do. Probably all of us. They're not given any evidence of being truly born again when they think like that, when they live like that. Oh, I know, but they grew up in church when they were little and they said a prayer when they were baptized. That doesn't matter. Folks, there's a day we are going home. And I'm about to look at that day, and it's an amazing day. But before we go home, are we taking our families with us? Are we taking our children and grandchildren with us? Because if you have no desire to talk about your Lord who has saved you, who has given you His righteousness so you stand before the throne faultless, if you don't want to pray to the One who is holding you in those everlasting arms, if you don't want to sing and worship, because it's not about us, it's about Christ. In life we outlive, we live, He lives in us. We live through Him. It's not about us, it's Christ in us. See, if you don't want to read His Word, and I'm not saying sometimes it's hard, I know. Sometimes we have to discipline ourselves, but This is our Lord's word. And this is His church. We want to be as part of His church. He died for the church. He died so we could become here and we could serve one another and we could serve Him. And if you have family and friends that say they're believers, but they don't want any of that stuff, I'm telling you right now, they're not believers. And I don't try to say that to be offensive. I don't try to say that to scare you. But it is a reality and it is a wake-up call. You need to share with them the true faith. Well, if I do, my kids won't come over anymore. I understand. I've lived that. But your family has to see that your faith is real enough to sacrifice, that you love them enough to tell them the hard truths. Because one day we're going to go home and they won't be there. We are called to live and share our faith with our families, even at the cost of offending them or causing division. The truth must be lived out. It must be shared. It's the cost of truly following Jesus Christ. And Jesus was very clear about this. No relationship can come before your relationship with Him. Luke 14, verse 25. Now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciples. Another hard teaching of Jesus. Our love for Christ should be so that when you compare it with our love for our families, because we are to love our families, but when you compare the love for our Lord outdoes the love we have for our families. This is possible through Christ. This is possible because the more you love Jesus Christ, the more you will truly love your family. The more you love and allow Jesus to create in you His Spirit, His image, you will love your family even more. It's so important for our family members who are not believers, falsely believe they are, but they're not believers, to see the true faith in us. The patience, the kindness of God, but the truth of God. So important. Because there's a day we're going home. There's a day coming for us that's going to be so amazing. Beyond anything our limited, finite minds can imagine. The trumpet will sound and we go home. We go to that place that Jesus said He was going to prepare for us. And when He's done, He's going to come back. And it's an amazing, beyond description place. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. This place, no artist could describe it, paint it, draw it. No human can try to describe it. Even Paul said what he heard and saw, it would be a crime to try to explain it in human terms. It's beyond our full comprehension. But what we know is it's beyond amazing. No eye has seen it, nor ear heard. When we go home, there's some amazing things that are going to happen. I want to highlight those before we leave. First thing, this is really awesome. New bodies. New bodies. I'm excited about that. I'm only 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So we're going to be standing here, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be changed. This body that's corruptible because it has a sin nature will become incorruptible. The sin nature gone. The body restored. Strong, healthy, and pure. In a twinkling of an eye. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's a pretty amazing thing to think about. Paul said this in Philippians 3, 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and how I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Yes, inside the church there are people who serve God, serve Jesus Christ, who call themselves Christians, who are actually enemies of the cross. Why? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They serve themselves in the church. And those, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. But look at us. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. What was Jesus' body like after the resurrection when it was glorified? It was awesome. It was physical. It could be touched. He could also eat. That's a good thing, right? But it could also disappear. Vanish. It's an incredible body. Best part, he could eat. Now we go back to that part. But the most amazing for us, again, no corruption, no sin nature, free at last from ever having a bad thought, ever being able even to be tempted with a bad thought. Free at last. And then we go eat. And this glorious body. We can speculate that it's glorious. It's not super, we're not superheroes. It's not, you know, but this body that's been restored. No longer hindered by sin. No longer in a corruptible state. Now, maybe its senses are max. Maybe we have full senses. You know, the senses are amazing. God gave us these 5 senses in the body so we can interact with His creation. We can smell, we can hear, we can see, touch, taste. We're going to go to this place that no ear has heard, no eye has seen. Better than any place on the planet right now. Better! Think of the most beautiful place you've ever been to. It's nothing compared to what God has prepared for those who seek Him. Where what we are going to see the day we go home. Let me show you. It's a glorious place. Revelation chapter 21. Then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls filled with the 7 last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. It's the church, right? Right? All right. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showing me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Wait a minute. I'm going to show you the Lamb's wife, and he shows them the holy city. What's up with that? You guys just said, The church is the Lamb's bride. So why is it the city now? Yeah, but this is the city. Why is the city considered the Lamb's bride? The city takes on the characteristic, the nature of its residents. Of those who inhabit the city is made for them. It is where the bride is when God takes us home. This is the place we are going to indwell. This is the place that Jesus has been creating. Verse 12. And she also had a great and high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels at the gates, names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Because it's a big city. So it has to have a huge foundation. I find it very fascinating. 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 apostles in here. There's only 12. Jesus picked 12. One was a devil. Apostle Paul was picked next by Jesus. 12 apostles. That's it. There's never been any more than that. Today we have a bunch of people and a bunch of churches teaching. There's a ton of new apostles. Thousands of them, literally. No. There's 12. Stick with the 12's teaching, not these new apostles today. False. They're false apostles. Stick with the original 12. It's 12 foundations on them and the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and I'll go and read, and he talked with me. He who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. Now, like I said, 12 foundations, because it's a big city. Verse 16, the city laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth, and he's measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measures its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. Basically, the city is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. You calculate that all out, 2,500,000 square miles. It's a big city. Now we understand when he says, my Father's house, where he dwells, the third heaven, has many mansions in it. There's a lot of room there. Again, an artist cannot even get close to the real thing, but even that artist's rendition there is beautiful. But that doesn't even come close. It's not going 1,500 miles high. It's amazing. And let me show you. Go to the next slide. The jasper. Now we remember in Revelation 21:11 it says the jasper for them was a clear, shiny gem. So it's more likely describing a diamond. Now what I'm about to show you are the building material. What do we use for building material? Wood? Wood? Stone? Not precious stone. Plaster? Sheetrock. Yeah, glass. The glass is pretty. But we don't build our buildings with diamonds. What we hold the most precious here, what we call treasures, what ladies want to wear on their fingers, is just building material there. It's just foundation. Think about this. This material is better, it's nicer than what the foundation is of this building. And here the foundation are these. Jasper, diamond, sapphire, next. And chalcedony. Hope I'm saying that correctly. You got emeralds. And sardonyx. The sardius. Chrysolite. Got the beryl. Topaz. Chrysophrase. The jacinth. The amethyst. Pearl. Finally, gold. Next slide, Levi. That's the foundation of this city. What does this place look like? What will our eyes finally see that day? What will our ears finally hear the day we go home? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Revelation 21, verse 22. But I saw no temple in this city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are His temple. Now, so far we got these great bodies, healthy, strong, no sin nature. Now we have this beautiful city with amazing building material. And here's the best thing. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are there. They are there in the city. They are the light. We are in their presence. No longer is our relationship from afar. No longer is our relationship by faith alone. It's there. We see them. We walk with them. The sea had no need of the sun or the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. Those who are saved. The day we go home, have you done everything humanly possible to make sure your family is going with you? Because only those who are saved will walk in the light. Listen one more time to what Christian hopes for as the doors of heaven close behind him.
For you have arrived to the place where the old is passed away and newness of life begins. Welcome, Christian. Welcome to the celestial city.
Loved ones, that they too would come. But they can only come if we bring the truth to them. And there's a chance it could cause some conflict. But if we do it in love and we do it in the power of God's Holy Spirit, but if we never share with them, if we take the easy road, let's just keep the family together. Let's not bring in Christian. Let's not talk religion and politics. Fine, don't talk politics. Definitely don't talk religion, but talk Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, the day you go home, your family will not all be there. They still have a choice to make. It's still on them. But are you trying to reach them? Because you want them there. I know you do. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Come on up, team. What God has prepared. One day, one fine day, the day God says it's time to bring His church home, we're going to give these new bodies. No sin nature. No more health problems. No more weakness and bad joints, bad hips, bad knees, bad backs. We're going home to enjoy the celestial city that is beyond anything we can imagine. And that's just the city. I didn't even describe the rest of the third heaven the city is located in. Just the city. Being in the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and our loved ones. You saw in that video clip, friends he had that died before him were there waiting. Oh yes, I believe we'll know our relatives that have gone before us that were true believers. Friends, we'll see them again. Are you ready to experience going home? Are you a born-again believer yourself? When the trumpet sounds, are you going to go home to that city? Are your families ready? Are your loved ones going to experience it with you? But right now, too many people are caught up with the cares of this life. That's more important than looking at this city, looking at our future, looking to the day we go home. It's better to live in the now. And we take the cheap counterfeit Satan offers. The cares of this life, the wonders of this world. He tempted Jesus with those. He said, look, I'll give you all the glory of the kingdoms if you'll just worship me. Jesus saw and knows the real glory. But we can be distracted. There's a day we're going to go home, folks, and it's an amazing day. Are you ready? And are your families ready? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for these scriptures that give us a small window to look into what you have prepared for those that love you, those that seek you, those that have come again to be born again by your blood, by your sacrifice. Lord, you've gone to prepare a place for us. We can't even imagine what that is, what it's going to be like, but what we do know is it's going to be good. And Lord, it should motivate us. We should stay focused on that. No matter what we're dealing with here, what we may suffer with here for the cause of Christ, that the glory is to come. Nothing we can deal with compares to that. So Lord, help us to stay focused on the end of the destination at the end. When you take us home, help us to run the race well, looking to the end. And that whatever we may sacrifice and suffer, it's worth it. And Lord, I ask you to help us in the most loving, kind way, in your way, with your Spirit, the fruit of that Spirit. Help us to reach our families and our friends who at this point, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will not be there that day we go home. I ask you to help us reach them before it's too late, before you call us home. We just thank you again, Lord, for this window that you've given us to look to the future. It's exciting, it's amazing, it's overwhelming to ponder on. Let us get excited because we're one day closer to that window. We're one day closer to hearing the trumpet. We're one day closer to the day that we go home. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I can only imagine what that day will be like. So I figured it's a good song to end on. Let's sing this.
When I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine.
One day, we won't have to imagine anymore. It's coming. We're going to go on that day and we're going to see that city. We're going to experience all those amazing things we talked about today. But there's something else that's going to happen. Something so beautiful. It's a hard word to describe it. There's one more thing we're going to experience when we go home. That's next week. We are Team Jesus. It's time to break out of here and go play for our Lord and Savior for one more week. Maybe this will be the week we go home. Maybe it won't. But let's go play for our Lord and Savior, who has prepared a place for us. Count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three, break. Let's go.